Live from the mist enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you are listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey, all right. This is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications, and I'm with you again for another episode of the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. With me today is a new friend of mine who I've actually met in person. She's charming and lovely. And her name is Dr. Jennifer Rhodes, and she's from New York City. And today we're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. We're going to talk about seduction, because I think seduction isn't a dirty word. I think seduction isn't necessarily a negative, although it can be twisted around to be. But seduction is something that women crave. It's part of the dance between men and women that I think is so essential to having a hot and healthy sex life. And that's why I brought in a sharp, successful, gifted, and talented woman like Dr. Jennifer Rhodes to come in here and help me make that point and drive it home. So, Jennifer, how's it going?
Things are great. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, you're in New York City, and New York City is an interesting and difficult place to date. And I know that your take on seduction isn't always the most politically correct one, but it sure is a valid one to anybody who knows how men and women really interact, right?
Yeah, I love seduction. I think that dating, not only in New York City, but the rest of the country, has gotten a little boring. So America has not embraced seduction like other cultures do. And I think it's really led to men and women miscommunicating and getting really bored on dates and just not having fun.
Do you think that's because we've kind of become closed off to the idea of seduction? Or do you think it's because we fundamentally misunderstand what seduction really is, Jen?
I think it's both. I think there's a huge misunderstanding of what seduction actually is supposed to be. I don't think many people understand that it's actually a healthy social skill to have. But I also don't think we're right now in kind of current dating culture embracing it. I think we get way too serious about, you know, dropping words like rape culture and all this kind of negative stuff that would be towards women. In the United States, we don't really do a good job teaching seduction as a healthy social skill. So I think there's a huge misunderstanding of what seduction actually is. And I don't think we necessarily embrace seduction and the going back and forth between men and women and this beautiful kind of dance, as you will, of courtship in the same way other cultures do. And so I think we focus way too much on equality of the sexes. And that's really great when you're talking about marriages and, you know, kind of the more, you know, concrete aspects of marriage. But when you're talking about the emotions and the passion and the fun parts, we don't have as much fun as some other cultures. And I think you see the miscommunication between men and women because of that.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about paying women equal money for equal time and rights and privileges in society, that's great. But when it comes to flirtation and attraction and what goes on in the bedroom, you really can't say the sexes are exactly the same. I am all for equality, but you're never going to make the genders be the same. You're never going to realistically eliminate gender from the conversation, especially as it relates to sexual attraction.
I completely agree. And I don't know what American focus on trying to get rid of the differences are. I think we should be embracing the differences. You know, I am a single woman also in New York, and I get tired of feeling like there's not enough kind of sexy energy going around New York City. It's, you know, I interact with men as clients, I interact with men personally, and there are very few men in this day and age that can kind of bring a healthy, seductive energy into a room with them so that I can actually just, you know, enjoy being in the present moment with them. It's actually very rare. And I think that is, you know, scary to me as a, you know, a woman and also as a professional in this industry. You know, we're missing out on a huge part of just making life happy and enjoying life.
As a matter of fact, you and I were having a casual conversation offline, and this whole idea of women, especially in urban environments, smart, educated women, nonetheless sexy women, but women who go to work all day and have to kind of get into their masculine side to make ends meet, either financially or professionally, sometimes they have a hard time relaxing back into the feminine when they're with a guy they're attracted to, right?
Yeah, it can be completely exhausting. It's, you are working all day long. You have to be in a more masculine environment. It may or may not fit naturally with your personality. Oftentimes it doesn't. And I think especially in a city like New York where people are working really long hours, it takes a really long time to transition from work mode to fun mode. And if you don't have someone sitting across from you who just can also be in fun mode and doesn't need a high level of validation that they're the most amazing person on the planet in the first 5 seconds, we are inherently exhausted and do not understand what the other sex needs from us on a date.
You know, maybe the first step for guys to effective seduction will be helping women decompress when on a date like that and yes, kind of get rid of all the stresses and relax and bring out the playful, as I like to say.
It would be great to bring out the playful, but that also starts before you actually get to the date. I can tell you when I, you know, talk to women all the time, and the number one thing that really drives whether or not they're going to be relaxed with someone on a date is whether or not they were capable of planning the date to begin with. So it's, you know, it's some basic skills here. If you're planning to pull out some seduction skills, you're going to need to be able to either call or text message effectively to get her to that date and have her walk in a mindset where she's ready to be with you in the present moment. And the number of text messages women get about, what do you want to do? Question mark with no suggestion, I can tell you, drives women up the wall.
Oh yeah, that's a well-traveled fact on this show. I mean, you never get a woman on a date and go, oh, what do you want to do? We've talked about that ad nauseum. And yet guys still do that. It's almost as if we're taught we should defer to women and do what they want to do. So even having a plan is somehow perceived by most men out there as being an affront to women and their own decision-making abilities. I'm kind of coming to the realization, Jennifer, right now as we speak, that it's almost like how men are starting to feel about opening a door for a woman. It's like, well, gee, she can open the door for herself, so she's not going to want me to do it for her. She's going to be offended if I even show that measure of chivalry because it's so outdated. It's such an anachronism in the year 2016. Could it be that men are actually feeling that way about planning dates for women? I mean, it's like, okay, what's next? Are we going to revert to the 1950s and I'm going to order off the menu for her at a restaurant? I mean, maybe she wants to tell me what she's going to do. Thank you. And she has her own plan and I need to just, you know, go along with it. Is that how warped this has become?
I think it has gotten to that level. And I've actually experienced this. So 10 years ago in New York was an epic first date experience. A man would plan a phenomenal first date. And I had the best dates of my life in my mid-20s. In New York City, great time. I've traveled, lived in other places, moved back from San Francisco, you know, dating again. And not one of the dates I've been on since being back in New York has ever reached the level of what was happening 10 years ago. And I think what has happened is that men have gotten so scared of getting a woman angry from their feminist standpoint or just not wanting to get into an argument with a woman that they now defer everything to her. And, you know, women in New York, we tend to be pretty intelligent and, you know, grounded, and we just want to go out and have a good time. We make those decisions on a regular basis, and then we have to make those decisions with our girlfriends. So if you're going to create another situation where we have to make a decision, we just don't have time to have you in our life.
Yeah, it's kind of like the political idea of gender equality trumps anything that's going to drive sexual attraction. It's like, okay, I've got to help this woman understand I'm not some kind of raging sexist before we can have raging sex.
I really just want men to stop making decisions based on what you think a woman wants you to do and just be yourself. I know it sounds corny and cheesy, but if you're the type of guy who would like to open a door for a woman, then open the freaking door for the woman. If you are the type of guy who would order off the menu, then politely ask her at a dinner time in a flirtatious way whether or not she is into that or not. To begin to really, you know, hone who you are and make decisions on how you would like to date rather than deferring everything to her, because that is a complete turnoff and it destroys any kind of attraction that a woman would have towards you.
Well, I think what both men and women need to understand more viscerally is that it's a fundamental part of sexual attraction. This masculine-feminine polarity is how it works. Now, I will deliver one caveat to what you said.
Yes.
I think if you're talking about making decisions based on what you want to do and there's a woman involved, a real man will make the proper decision that's in the best interest of the woman. He won't just say, well, you know, screw you. I don't care what you want. I'm going to do what I want. And because I'm hot and sexy, you'll like it and be turned on by it. But see, I'm making that clarification because I don't think that's what you were trying to communicate. Right?
No, what I'm trying to communicate, I feel like men have gotten paralyzed and they're not making any decisions. Right. And so if you also can't figure out if you're dating the right woman, if you completely change who you are and your behaviors to accommodate. And there's kind of like a fine line here between doing everything that's in the best interest of the woman and not being assertive versus knowing who you are and taking into account her preferences. And I just think the whole thing has gotten warped and twisted, and there is so much anxiety around dating.
Well, you know, angry women are a very vocal minority, as we've talked about on this show. And they tend to get center stage, and people tend to not want to piss them off further, so they give them the microphone. And what that's left guys thinking, especially after being subject to, you know, sexual harassment seminars and whatever at work, is that, you know, these women don't want to be bothered, and I need to walk on eggshells, which is breeding a whole new crop of Mr. Nice Guy out there who doesn't want to piss women off. And then see, maybe even legitimately in his mind, he's thinking, look, I don't want to do something wrong. I want this woman to like me. I want to take care of women. I want to be good to women. But how it comes off to the woman is, well, this guy's got an agenda. He wants something. He's hiding something from me. There's something less than authentic about this whole experience. And then the whole thing backfires, Jennifer, and he just looks creepy. And both of them are left wondering, literally, what happened here?
I see this. I mean, I walk down the streets, I feel like I see this happening all the time. I experience it all the time now. And it's just so much miscommunication. And I think the majority of the men that I work with or that I'm interacting with are legitimately scared because they don't want to get yelled at for doing something wrong. And I think when you kind of get into that deer in headlights kind of mode where you're not quite sure what direction to go in, the attraction and the chemistry is already done. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't any to begin with. It just means that we're just not in the headspace right now to be able to cultivate the chemistry on a date to have it go anywhere. And so that's when the anxiety kicks in. And that's when, you know, women, we absorb energy. So if you're anxious, then we're going to be anxious. And then if everyone's anxious, no one's having fun. And I think there's just so much anxiety that it's taken fun and seduction and sexual chemistry completely off the table.
And I think what aggravates this whole big picture, Jennifer, is that men don't understand what's going on in women's minds. And women don't understand that, hey, you know, men are really feeling this anxiety, as you put it, about even showing interest in them, let alone taking things to a sexual level. There's a fundamental misunderstanding here of what's going on psychologically with the other gender.
I completely agree. I think, you know, I make it a really big point to teach my female clients how to be a good woman on a date, because I think we all walk into a date trying to get our own needs met rather than figuring out, okay, I'm going to be spending time with this particular person. I don't know if there's going to be chemistry there, but I want them to feel like a rock star when they leave the interaction with me. And I think, you know, our culture has made people way more self-involved. And so it's very rare that you get someone who has the social skills to actually just make you feel really great on a date. And I don't think many women have that skill. So it does leave men in a precarious position of not quite knowing what to do because they can't understand what she wants. And then they're not getting a whole lot of positive feedback from her.
You know, I think a man's position is almost universally, especially when he's just getting around to getting better with women, is, man, I'm so concerned about not messing up and having her reject me that I'm not even looking across the table to see if she's having fun or if she's having anxiety issues of her own. Like, what's this guy think of me? And so what we do is we forget to be warm because we're so wadded up. And we forget to be giving and we forget to help welcome this other person and make sure they're having fun because we're so, like you said, self-absorbed.
What you just said is really the foundation of seduction. Seduction is never about getting your needs met. It's about making sure the other person's, whatever their needs are getting met in the present moment. And so I actually think that seduction really is the kind of antidote to entitlement in our culture, because if you can really get yourself in that mindset that you are going to use some seduction skills on a date with someone, you cannot be thinking about yourself at the same time. It's just not possible. So if you shift your mindset to thinking about the other person, you then all of a sudden naturally become warmer. You are naturally more engaging. And even if you do mess something up, you're being real. And I think women appreciate men who can be real and themselves and are just trying, and you guys are trying to figure out if there's chemistry together, rather than coming from a place of fear. Fear is completely anti-seductive. Women don't like that energy. We don't feel that energy. It kind of feels gross to us.
Of course. And you just said something so profound there that I want to repeat it. Seduction is the antidote to entitlement. Now, the reason why I find that such an amazing phrase coming from a woman is because I think most men have been told that seduction is based on entitlement. You seduce women to get laid. That's the purpose of it. I mean, this has been an assumption in all the writings about men's dating advice for decades now, that the whole point of being a seducer is to get women to have sex with you. What you're saying, Jennifer, throws a wrench in the works big time, because you're saying a true seducer is caring about meeting the needs of the woman, because that's how you lead effectively in that dance. And I'm suspecting this has to do with making her feel comfortable while at the same time projecting that you are a masculine man who understands masculinity as women defines it and knows how to affect it.
Men who are really great with women, maybe when you're 18 and really young and your goal is to sleep with as many women as possible, okay, you know, tips and tricks might work for you. But as we age, and now women have way more experience, you know, as they're going in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond, someone who actually really loves women and just wants to make a woman feel comfortable and have them enjoy time with him without necessarily conveying that they want something immediately back is the man that the woman is going to choose. Women, we can read pretty quickly whether or not you have an underlying intention. So if a woman chooses to sleep with you, it's probably because we made the choice to go and do that. Very few women in this day and age really are manipulated in such a way where they don't know what is going on. And that's not real seduction. That's, you know, inherent entitlement and narcissism. But men who have good seduction skills are the ones who understand the masculinity and they enjoy being around women and they want women to have a good time and to just be in the moment.
Yeah, I think you've basically just recited the very essence of how to get women to be attracted to you, feel comfortable with you, and indeed have sex with you. I've said it 100 times in my writings. The guys who are trying to get laid, and that's their focus, are the least laid guys I know, because there's that agenda. It's like, okay, I'm trying to get sex. It's like when a woman says, I want to date and marry a rich guy, so I'm going to go try to get a rich guy to give me all his money. You know, meanwhile, the rich guy ends up marrying a woman who's much more down to earth and is perceived as not being a gold digger and not having a whole lot of material needs. And they live happily ever after. And of course, she gets to enjoy the benefits of living that wealthy lifestyle. I think you hit the nail on the head for men, because we first of all need to actually enjoy women. And you are so on target also by saying that women are smart and they know when they're getting taken for a ride. They know when they're getting manipulated, and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel any better for a woman than it does for us as guys to walk into a car dealership and have the guy say, well, my pen or yours, or what can I do to get you to buy this Audi right now? You know, we're just going to feel like we're here for that guy's commission generation, not to have a car we're going to enjoy. And I think when women are out with a guy who just wants to get some, they feel like a piece of meat. And unfortunately, once this snowball gets rolling downhill, Jennifer, the guys start feeling like, well, all women hate me. All women are against me. Women are the enemy. When in reality, women want to have sex just as much as men. It's just that they want to be appreciated as a human being. They want to have a part of this fun also. They don't want to just be used like a tool, you know, in the middle of this sexual process. And, you know, like I said, the whole idea of manipulation and narcissism, that goes both ways in terms of the genders. I mean, it's not something that men are uniquely at fault with. And it's not something, of course, that only women do, as some of the guys, like the men going their own way, think. But what you're talking about to me, I think, is incredibly important, not only for the men who are listening to this show, but also some of the women in their lives to understand. I do want to go here, though, before we proceed any further. You've sort of given a cursory definition of what seduction is like, but I want you to go ahead and throw on the table how you actually define seduction. Go for it.
Seduction really is about making someone else's needs a priority. It really is about having the social skills and being able to read someone so crystal clear that you're able to interact with them in the way that they need you to interact with them so that they can feel grounded, present, and content. So many times, and this has been taught in kind of a negative way in terms of, you know, what is someone lacking in their life? And then can you fulfill, you know, that need? However, when we talk about, you know, just basic sexual attraction and chemistry, that's all a little bit of a fantasy in the beginning when you're meeting someone anyway. And so you really do need to have some skills in order to read, you know, what kind of woman you have in front of you. Do you have a woman who is highly romantic and her fantasies of romance and sex are one way, or do you have a different kind of woman? And someone with really good social skills and who is not anxious is going to be able to read her and then be able to interact with her accordingly so that this fantasy between the two of you is something that you end up both enjoying.
Okay, well, hold on just a second. Let's back up just a little bit. If I recognize that a woman is hungry and I give her a PB&J, I haven't seduced her. So it isn't just simply recognizing a woman's needs and helping satisfy them on the general level. You're talking about something tied to psychosexual things, right?
I'm talking more about an emotional connection, and it's more of a psychological and emotional connection. And I have to say that the type of men in the U.S. who should be the best at this are the men who are actually highly emotionally sensitive. All the men that I work with in my practice have been told that their emotional sensitivity is bad, but their emotional sensitivity is actually a huge gift, because once you know how to use it, you're going to be able to emotionally read a woman much better than some of your friends. And so it's more psychological and more emotional rather than just a concrete, you know, she's hungry, let me feed her scenario.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted to go ahead and address that clarification and the need for it. So what we're talking about here is helping a woman feel comfortable with the idea that you understand where she's coming from in terms of her psychological need for comfort and security, as well as properly balancing that with, hey, once we make the attraction happen here, once the masculinity and the femininity have successfully polarized each other here, and she's feeling comfortable, then we can start that dance of sexual attraction, because not only is she going to be open to it, but I'm going to like it more as well as a man because she's open to it. I'm not forcing any issues here. And that makes the whole progression of going somewhere sexually a lot more fun. You know, I think one thing that's so far gone unsaid is so many guys are trying to have sex as quickly as possible, whereas women understand, inherently at least, a lot more of the idea of this is a lot more fun if we enjoy the ride. If we savor every little moment, you know, that first handhold, that first kiss, that first romantic moment, that first gaze into each other's eyes, all the things that make young, immature boys want to vomit are all the things that make women horny.
Yeah,
right. So, I mean, one way I would define seduction, and this is something that I'm going to elaborate a little bit on because I think it could potentially sound confusing, is a wonderful, well-meaning sales pitch to the sensual. What I've generally taught, Jennifer, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, is that if you want a woman to be sexual with you, appeal to her sensual side first, and it will boomerang back to you as sexuality. Does that resonate?
It does. I don't think there are very many men who know how to do that anymore.
Well, let's talk about that.
I mean, I think women were experiencing that, you know, every day of the week. We would be way more into, you know, the men in our city and less likely to date a whole bunch of other people and more likely to focus on one of you rather than what is, you know, going on right now. I don't think either sex is very good with the whole concept of sensuality to begin with. So it does come across a little contrived sometimes, and then we start miscommunicating again.
Well, how can we genuinely affect that then? We're not going to just throw the baby out with the bathwater and throw up our hands and give up and keep getting on Tinder and soliciting booty calls from the next 20 women until one agrees. We're not going to do that, are we?
Well, I hope not, but I think that is what is happening right now. And that's
I agree.
And that's why women are so frustrated. You can't be sensual. You can't be seductive. You can't, you know, get to a point of having a really connected sexual experience with people if you're not dating mindfully. And I just think our entire culture is kind of mindless and a little ADHD, and we're kind of jumping from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. And you can't get into the proper headspace. And so if we are constantly trying to fit in a 20-minute date here and there, and, you know, a guy is trying to, you know, get to the sex part as fast as possible, and a woman's priority is a relationship, and it just, we end up just having a really horrible, horrible time. And women in those situations really end up feeling like their being as a woman is not appreciated, and that they are being kind of used for their bodies, and it just doesn't feel good. And we know that a lot of times many men are not like that, and that's not their intention, but it just doesn't seem like people have enough skills, more sophisticated skills, to go from point A to point B.
Well, you just said a mouthful. First of all, the whole idea of immediate gratification descending to the level of human relationship has been written about at length, especially in the last few years with the rise of social media and swiping right and left on people. The cheapening of sexual relationships in the hookup culture is also well documented. But what comes to mind with what you're talking about is what this has reduced us to, Jennifer, is all of us thinking that our relationships with members of the other gender, even our sexual relationships, are all going to be fast food experiences. It's like going into In-N-Out Burger when really a wonderful evening at El Bulli is right before our very eyes if we would just seize it. It won't cost any more. It might even cost less financially. And of course, the payoff is such a richer, more memorable, and even, dare I say, adventurous experience with women. So indeed, instead of like eating a fast food diet when it comes to relating to women, we should think in terms of going to a 3 or 4 star Michelin starred restaurant. So what do I mean by that? Obviously, if you go to a gourmet restaurant, you're going to get better food. You're going to take it more slowly. You're going to have fine wine. You're not going to rush through this. But getting to what you're saying, Jennifer, there are enough women in today's world who have resigned themselves to the quick hookup that guys almost feel validated in going for it. It's like, well, good grief. Even like most of these women out there are just okay with a booty call. If I don't give them enough orgasms, they don't call me the next day. You know, so for whatever reason it is, Jennifer, maybe women have just kind of shrugged their shoulders and gone, okay, well, I guess this is the way things are nowadays. It just doesn't make sense. It's sort of silly to even think about being romantic anymore. If women have resigned themselves to that, if it's a concession on women's part, the bare naked truth, if you'll pardon a terrible pun in context there, the bare naked truth there is that it works. Men can just booty call women and they'll go, okay, let's just screw, you know, and then the next day they'll either do it again or they won't, or maybe the woman will even be fickle and go on to the next guy. It's just become part of culture nowadays. And people who understand the value of the dance, people who understand the richness of a Michelin star dating experience, are longing for finding the right person. And I think they will find the right person to share that experience with. If it's just for one date, fine. But still, that whole idea of seduction, dare I say it's becoming passe. It's almost like chivalry 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's like, who does that anymore? No one even cares. Women don't even want it. So I think we're in grave danger, Jennifer, of entering an age here where the perception is women don't even want to be seduced. They don't even want a romantic experience at all anymore.
I do think that there is something going on that's been fueled by the mindlessness and the technology and the hookup culture. But if you actually read some of the psychological research that has been done in that area and you really interview people, it is almost like on surface level, everyone's like, yeah, hookup is great. I can do what I want. There's no connection. I don't have to worry about anything. But underneath that, people are feeling pretty lonely. And men in particular have far, far more consequences to engaging in hookup culture than women do psychologically. So if you really start kind of peeling back the layers, it's kind of like men are trying to keep up with these men that they consider alpha, and they're getting all the women. And so they feel like they have to go just have sex. And that's just the way it is. And they really would prefer to have a more real experience where psychologically women can, you know, just have sex with men and be okay with that. And they can also flip and decide that they want a relationship. So I don't think we've been very clear about kind of really what the research is showing. I think, you know, women are feeling way empowered right now, and that's great. But that also means in order to kind of get our attention, you have to be the man who kind of, you know, reads the social scene. And if everyone is going to hookup culture, you got to be different. And you got to kind of, even if it's starting to feel passe, you got to do something different to get our attention. And so I do think that the men that are going to be successful with women in New York City are going to be the men who start to do some of those more romantic kind of passe, if you will, things, because it's going to be different. And all of a sudden, different becomes new. And, you know, women, after they've had a number of hookup experiences, start looking for something more meaningful or more real. And, you know, you could be the guy that changes their mind and gives them a most amazing experience ever that changes their entire viewpoint on men.
Now, one of the things you just alluded to is the sexual empowerment of women. And indeed, it seems like women as a gender, especially in North America, Western Europe, etc., are truly achieving sexual liberation more fully than they ever have. The idea of sluttiness is being embraced. Women aren't feeling shamed for being sexual anymore. Yet, I think if you go back to the root of seduction, a practical piece of being an effective seducer is sort of helping a woman feel like this whole sexual thing that's going to go on here is your fault as a guy. You caused her to lose her inhibition. Oh my gosh, you have this effect on me. I can't believe I'm doing this. It's almost as if when seduction is executed so perfectly, the woman just feels like all the responsibility for this sexual tryst we're about to have, it sort of needs to be offloaded onto the guy, so the woman feels that much more comfortable, as if she were taken, which of course ultimately is what women want. They want that feeling of being taken by this guy who desires them. So I think that's a big part of it. I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that women, especially women that are killing it in their careers and have all this big social life and are, you know, doing great things in their life, they all really do desire, you know, men who can kind of take charge in the, you know, in the seduction and sexuality like a department, just because, you know, we have to be on so often during the day that, you know, we want something different in our personal lives. But there are women who prefer to be, you know, more dominant. There are men who prefer to be more submissive. But this is not something we just openly discuss. And it's not something we play with when we are kind of trying to, you know, in the beginning, try to date and learn about each other. So we're missing out on the opportunity to kind of collect data, if you will, about, you know, what kind of person is in front of me. And should I be, you know, pulling out certain skills out of my toolbox because you have a particular type of woman in front of you versus, you know, a woman who, you know, really does, you know, want to date someone who is more passive than they are and they want to be the dominant one. I mean, that dynamic is changing in our culture too. And I think that causes a lot of confusion. And I think the antidote to that is that I think we all just need to get a little bit more comfortable with who we are as a person and then get comfortable with our sexual selves. And once we kind of have more of a hold on who we are, it becomes easier to try to find, you know, people who are a good fit for you. And you're not running around trying to contort your entire life around one woman or vice versa.
Well, no doubt men are indeed confused because on the one hand, dominance is basically perceived as synonymous with rapey nowadays. And yet we see what women are reading in terms of the romance novels out there and the literotica, and it all revolves around a man who knows what he wants and boldly takes it, even sexually. And I can't help but think that the common denominator between the whole idea of dominance and what women really want is that safety and security. They don't want to be raped. They don't want to be abused. They don't want to be treated like a piece of meat or, like you said, objectified as being a sexual tool. They want a man to appreciate her as a human being. They want to know that this man is on their team. He's a provider and a protector, not a destroyer. That he's part of the solution, not the problem when it comes to her safety and security. And then, well, by God, take me. Be dominant in the bedroom. Pull my hair. Spank me on the butt. Whatever it is that we've agreed that we like to do, do it. And I will only get hornier and hotter for you because of it. And the piece of the puzzle that I think everybody seems to misunderstand, that piece that is integral to have in place before any of the dominant fun can happen, is that safety and security.
Now, I agree with you 110%. I think...
Can I get 112%?
You can have 112. Yeah, 115. Okay. I think the safety and security...
Do I hear 118?
You have 200%.
I'm going to lapse into my auctioneer voice if we're not careful, and nobody wants that, so please continue.
The safety and security piece, it's the key to unlock everything. You can't effectively seduce a woman if you don't make her feel safe and secure, and vice versa. I mean, if it was a woman trying to seduce a man, you have to drop your guard. And the only way you get people comfortable with you is you build a little bit of a rapport and you make the person feel safe and secure, which is not done by necessarily anything that you say to her. It is oftentimes the energy that you are bringing into the situation, and it has a calming effect on her so she feels safe in your presence. Again, I'm bringing up anxiety because anxiety is the biggest issue. If you are anxious, there is no way that you can convey that you have the skills to make her feel safe and secure. So if you're not getting what it is that you want in terms of a response from her, it might be because we haven't dealt with your anxiety, and that energy is just not making her feel safe. Because once a woman feels safe, anything is possible after that. She trusts and she feels safe. You have the foundations of a beautiful thing happening.
Jennifer, give these guys a couple practical tips on how they can become a master seducer. I think we've talked a lot about the subjective theories behind this. What can a guy actually do the next time he's in front of a woman who he would like to seduce?
Yes. So number one, it starts before you actually get to wherever it is that you're going, whether it's on a date or if you're going to go prospect for women, whatever it is you're doing, it has to start before you leave the house because you need to get yourself grounded. You cannot walk into any venue with anxious feelings or emotions. And so I often have clients do a pre-date ritual where they take the time, they're not rushing around, to kind of get themselves in the right headspace. Sometimes the right smelling cologne can actually have a very calming effect on you. You know, sometimes we're stressed and that's what's causing anxiety. So being a little bit more mindful about how you're getting ready to show up for her is really important. And when you are in front of her, there is a tendency for a lot of people to talk a lot when they're anxious or to get uncomfortable when there are pauses. And I think a woman appreciates a man who can kind of sit and kind of take control of the energy and just kind of maybe sit a little quietly and not be, you know, ridiculous over the top or feel like you have to perform in the first 30 seconds. Just come in and make sure that the energy is grounded. And if you do that, then everything that you build off of that will usually go in a better scenario. When I have clients that I think they're walking into a situation where there is just crazy energy going on, I will set up a situation where I send one of my employees to go observe them in a public setting, and they don't know who this person is. And 9 out of 10 times, within the first 30 seconds, there is some kind of either really crazy joke, over-the-top behavior, or you're just talking too much that really throws a woman for a loop. And then she kind of thinks that you're a little weird and the energy has shifted negatively. So I think getting a hold of your anxiety and getting grounded is probably the biggest thing that you can do to be successful with women.
And indeed, a couple of the things you were mentioning there are an appeal to the sensual. As we alluded to before, the whole idea of making sure you look good, getting your style down, and then that cologne is an appeal to her olfactory senses. Now, you don't want to douse yourself with it, and you don't want it to be cheap crap that you bought, you know, from the bathroom at the gas station, but you get a nice cologne that has already been proven to be attractive to women. And a great way to do this, guys, is to go to a cologne store at a mall and ask women what their favorite cologne is on a guy. And see which ones come up again and again and again. and get yourself a bottle of that that smells good on you, because body chemistries can be different, and just put a little dab of it on, just enough that if she gets within about 3 feet of you, she can sense that aura, which is very pleasing to her sensually. Yeah, several of the things you mentioned there are right on track with that whole idea of seduction being a sensual thing. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, and the cologne is, I can't tell you how important the cologne is. And this comes from my experience of being a Latin dancer. When I go out social dancing and I don't know any of the men in the room, and I'm sensitive to energy. So sometimes, you know, you can be nervous when you're dancing or you're a new dancer. And I like to dance with all the beginner dancers and kind of learn who they are. But I can tell you that the man who is wearing really amazing cologne, when you are dancing with them, and as a woman, when you smell them, it's like instantaneous, like we relax. So I often tell the people that I dance with, if they are new dancers, to be very careful with what kind of cologne that they're wearing, and that they want to choose the one that, you know, women are going to be attracted to, because it will help them actually in their dance skills, because women will relax around them.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not gender specific either. We love to be close to women who smell like girl, you know, we love that. Yeah. So I think that's something that a lot of us are frankly too lazy to bear in mind. I think it's something that takes an extra step, and sometimes we just skip it. You mentioned that guys get so wadded up in their negative energy and fear of rejection and hoping that everything goes right, that they miss being a good seducer. What do we replace that energy with? What is the better energy? Is it just about being warm and being playful, or do you have a silver bullet to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, so there are a lot of men that I work with that have some flavor of social anxiety, and there is a program, I run a social fitness program for them, because that kind of anxiety can be dealt with in less than 3 months. And I really encourage anyone who has any kind of anxiety going on to learn some other skills. And what we do in this program is we really work on how do you read and communicate non-verbally, because sometimes the verbal stuff coming out of the mouth is, you know, related to anxiety. So we should focus on non-verbal communication. There's a way to walk into a room that conveys that you're assertive, even if you're not feeling it. So I do have my clients work on their body posture and do some body work, because that can help you make you feel more grounded, even if in your head you're not thinking that you are so grounded. And then there's just practice. And sometimes men have just really, the ones that I work with, have kept themselves too safe and don't push themselves out of their comfort zone to try new experiences. And without the new experiences, you don't build the self-confidence. So it almost doesn't matter, you know, exactly what you're wearing or your cologne, all this other stuff. If you're walking in to a situation and you're feeling very fearful of being rejected, a woman reads that as negative energy. And a lot of that can be shifted. There's a lot of, you know, work that you can do, you know, on your own or with a coach in a very short period of time where you can change those mindsets. And once you change the mindset and the perception, then you will see that women respond to you very, very differently.
Yeah, you said a lot of things there that are incredibly important. The whole idea of being assertive, so many men lack that ability. What being assertive is having an opinion about something and trusting that you have a point. Regardless of whether other people are going to potentially push back or disagree, you know that you're in the right. You know you have a reason for the opinion you have, and you're willing to assert it. And I think that's something that's healthy for every guy to acquire, because frankly, nothing makes a woman feel safer and more secure than a guy who she knows can stand up not only to her, but to someone else as well. Very good stuff. Love it. Guys, I've set up a special URL where you can learn more about what Dr. Jennifer Rhodes has been up to at Rapport Relationship. And that link is www.thechickwhisperer.com/Jen, J-E-N. And she's quite effective at what she does. She's in the New York City area for you guys who want to meet her in person. And Jennifer, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a valid conversation, and I think an important one for every guy to hear.
Thank you so much for having me.
And guys, if you're not on my newsletter list yet, you need to go do that. That's at www.thechickwhisperer.com. While you're there, you can hit the big red button in the upper right-hand corner of the page and talk to me one-on-one personally for 25 minutes. and that's free of charge. We can talk about where you are in your relationships with women right now, where you'd like to be in those relationships with women. Also, if you're interested in being a location-independent entrepreneur like my wife and I are, we can talk about that also, as well as having an exciting, adventure-filled life, which we are connoisseurs of ourselves also. So it's all there for you at www.thechickwhisper.com. I also want to give you a quick reminder that we are busy building up the YouTube page, and you can find that at deservewhatyouwant.com, which is my main website, /YouTube. So it's deservewhatyouwant.com/YouTube. I'm putting up brand new videos on topics you've never seen talked about before in the world of men's dating advice, and you're really going to enjoy that. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2016 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.thechickwhisper.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.